I'm so thankful this morning for the Word of God. There's an exclamation, there's a passage in the Word of God that's very true. It says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." In a world of darkness, that's what we need today. It's a lamp, a light that's leading our path. And Peter testified of this, and we read it in the scripture. 2 Peter 1, 19-21. It says, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all," it says, "you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origins in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And that's why I'm so thankful this morning for the Word of God. I am thankful to be part of a church that teaches the Word of God. And so as we continue to study the life of Joseph, you know, I was impressed by the fact that Joseph had no written scriptures to guide his path. He didn't, because Joseph lived hundreds of years before the prophet Moses ever wrote the 5 books of the Bible. And Joseph, all that Joseph had to him, that he had available, were the oral accounts that were passed down from generation to generation. That is what Joseph had. But there's one wise counsel here in the Word of God that I wish that Joseph would have heard. Because Joseph, remember, was growing up. He was a young man now, and he was growing up in a very dysfunctional family. And 2-3 weeks ago, we started this series, and you know how dysfunctional the family was. And so he's growing in this family, and the inspired counsel that I'm talking about, and you may open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon, the wise man, he begins his comments with Ecclesiastes there 3:1, where he says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." Now, I just want to say something quick here about this, because I, you know, during the years, people come to me and they quote this. And they say, "Pastor, there's a time for everything." And of course, you know, if there's a time to do this, there's a time. Some even have said there's a time to swear and not to swear. There's a time to smoke and not to smoke. And there's a time to, you know, all the selfish things that we sometimes feel. There's a time to be angry and a time not to be angry. So I have an answer for that. And I want you to use your imagination, because I don't have my computer, but I'm going to put a PowerPoint slide here, okay? You all have that PowerPoint slide there? All right, you put your own background. But on the left-hand side, you put all the things that people say. You know, there's a time to be angry, there's a time to steal, and a time not to steal, there's a time. You put all those on this side, okay? You have that. And then on the right-hand side, there's the other slide that I'm clicking. And I'm saying, you know, time, okay? And I tell people, all this side here, I agree with you. There's a time to do that. And that time is when you don't know Jesus Christ. But when you come to know Jesus Christ, that's when the time stops. There's a time to do this, and there's a time to do that. But anyways, this counsel is from Ecclesiastes, but it would do well for you to go home and read verses 2 2 through 8, which I'm not going to do. I'm going to just focus on the second half of Ecclesiastes 3:7. And this is what it says, the second half of Ecclesiastes 3:7. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. And I know some of you are looking at the clock and thinking, yeah, 12 o'clock is coming around. He should take that counsel. A time to be silent, but time to speak. You know, it is wise counsel, though, if you think about it. And it would have been very helpful for Joseph to know about this, because by the time Joseph was a teenager, all right, his brothers hated him, and at least they thought it was a good reason for them to hate. As I said, he's growing up in a dysfunctional family, and his father, Jacob, has shown open favoritism for Joseph. Why? You remember? Well, you know the story. He was Rachel's firstborn, and all of the other brothers, okay, the sons of Zilpah and Leah and Bilhah, they knew that Jacob's true love was Rachel. And them, the other kids, were just second or third choice. Very dysfunctional. As a matter of fact, today, showing open favoritism to one child is very damaging. And it does happen. It does happen. You might not want to do that as parents, but it does happen. And I think Jacob is partly to blame because of all the hatred that the other sons felt for Joseph, because he did. And the father, Jacob, how did he display this favoritism? Well, he publicly gave Joseph an unusual coat. The meaning of the Hebrew word here, it's uncertain. It doesn't really quite describe what, you know, it's sometimes put down. But the NIV, the New International Version translators, they translated this word in Genesis 37:3 as a richly ornamented robe. Right? But the King James translators, they translated this word as a coat of many colors. And yet, here's a third position. Some scholars believe that the word itself is related with the word that has to do with the extremities, the hands, the ankles. So they translate this as a garment. They see it as a long robe with sleeves, long sleeves. But whatever this garment looked like, whether it was ornamental, whether it had a whole bunch of colors, we know one thing. We know that Joseph wore it proudly around his brothers. And it was a constant reminder to his brothers that Joseph was the favorite one, that Joseph was the one Jacob favored the most. If you want to open your Bibles to Genesis 37, open your Bibles, and if you did not bring one, there should be one right in front of you. Genesis 37, verse 4. And it reads this way: when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Now, Joseph was growing in this hostile environment. He would have been blessed if he would have known the counsel found in Ecclesiastes 3:7, when it says there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. And so this morning we are quickly going to consider three incidents that Joseph lived that we can learn something from. And I still think if he would have had this counsel, he wouldn't have gotten in so much trouble. But anyways, Genesis 37:2, the first incident that we see. Genesis 37:2, this is what it says. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now notice that Joseph's age is specifically mentioned. He was how old? 17. 17. So he wasn't a little kid. He was a young man. He wasn't just an immature little boy. He was a young man. And also, there's something here that you need to notice. Leah's sons are not mentioned here. They were particularly hostile to Joseph. But as a result of this bad report that this young man brought back to the father, now even the sons of Rachel, the Rachel's maid Bilhah, and now everybody else were angry at Joseph. They were really mad at him. And the question we need to ask is, was this report truth or fiction? You know, those of you that are parents and you had more than two kids, you know that sometimes you get reports from one of them or the other one. And you have to figure out, is this truth or is this fiction? Well, from everything that we have learned so far about the dysfunctionality of this family, we could probably say that there's a good chance that this bad report was true. Would you say that? Would you agree with that? I think it might have been true. But if the brothers, listen to this, if the brothers were stealing, if the brothers were out, you know, stealing sheep or doing some, you know, unmoral things, then I think it would have been right for Joseph to go and speak to the father, no matter what the personal cost. But if the brothers were just, you know, swimming around, they were acting silly, they were saying, you know, not red jokes, but not nice jokes either. I mean, if they were doing that, it would have been better for Joseph just to keep silent. After all, Joseph was not their parent. Joseph was just the little spoiled brat that father loved the most. That's who Joseph was. And it made the brothers really angry at him. I mean, I've been angry at my sisters and my brother, but I never said, I'm a K-I-L-L-U. You know, no. But the brothers did. And to me, it would have been so wise for Joseph to at least consider Ecclesiastes 3:7, a time to be silent or a time to speak. Now, there's a second incident in Joseph's early life that involved two dreams. You know, the brothers called him the dreamer. Now, we are not told explicitly that the dreams were from God. We read into it, and what we see happen later on, we say, oh, they were from God. Yes. But as you're reading, we're not told that they were from God. And the content of Joseph's first dream is recorded there in Genesis 37. So you have your Bibles open to Genesis 37, verse 6 and 7. So Joseph was working out in the fields with his brothers, and this is what he saw. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Now, I'm sure it was one of those vivid dreams that, you know, we wake up from and we're sweating because we've been running away from the dog or five skunks. I don't know. And I'm sure Joseph saw this, and Joseph had no problem remembering his dream. But let me ask you a question here. If you knew that your brothers were angry at you and they wanted to kill you, if every time they were always trying to, you know, find ways of making your life hard, they did not like you, okay? Would it be a good time to speak or a good time to be silent? I'm glad you're learning. I would suggest, okay, I would suggest that this would have been a good time for Joseph to be silent. Unfortunately, Joseph did not keep this very silent, did he? Look at 37:5. He went and shared it with his brothers. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, what did they do? They hated him all the more. Let's keep reading. Chapter 37, verse 8. His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. And we might add, okay, they hated him all the more because of his dream, what he said, and how he said it. Because it's sometimes very important how we say things. You know, sometimes I think that Joseph was sort of taking this as a chance to get a little bit of an advantage over the older brothers. You know what I mean? Nah, 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 nah. I had a dream and you're going to rule, you know, I'm going to rule over you. That type of an attitude. And if you go to with that type of an attitude to brothers that are already hating you, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in really, really trouble. I think that sharing the dream to the brothers was a foolish thing to do. Just that's just my opinion. I think Joseph was, the brothers were on fire, so to speak. And by Joseph relating this dream to them, he was throwing gasoline on the brothers. Here you go. Not a good thing. And there is no indication, if you read the Bible, there is no indication that God instructed Joseph to tell the dream to his brothers. There's no indication of that. And then Joseph has a second dream. And this one gets even a little bit better. And the content of that dream is found in Genesis 37, verse 9. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. And he said, "Listen, I had another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." And Joseph even went and told his father the dream. In Genesis 37, verses 10 and 11, we read that response of his father. When he told his father, he said, as well as his brothers, his father, what? Rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" Now, I think, you know, and it's not one of those things that we have to sort of argue, and but we can share opinions. I think that Jacob misinterpreted this dream that Joseph had, because he assumed that the sun was him and the moon was the mother. Listen to what he said. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" But understand what one thing. Joseph's mother, which was Rachel, died in childbirth. Okay? She died in childbirth with the younger brother Benjamin. And here's another thing. There's no record in the Bible that states that when Jacob arrived in Egypt, that he bowed down to Joseph. As a matter of fact, it says that Joseph hugged his father around the neck and kissed him. So then you're thinking, okay, so then what's the meaning of the dream? Well, I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I'm just going to... It's a more amazing thing about this that, you know, we're talking about, we're getting VBS, we're getting ready for Egypt. I hope all of you are getting your mascara ready because Egypt is going to be a great thing. In Egypt, the Pharaoh was recognized as a god. Okay, the Pharaoh is a god. As a matter of fact, he was an embodiment of Horus. Horus was their god. It was the god of the sky. So, have any of you ever seen a picture of the Egyptian god? It has a man, the head of the falcon. That's Horus. And Horus's eye, it was taught that Horus's eye, one of them was the sun and the other eye was the moon. So, could it be that in Joseph's dream, when it says both the sun and the moon bow down to him, I'm just thinking, could this portion of that dream be, would have been fulfilled by this unusual responsibility that the god Pharaoh gave to him, gave to Joseph? And we'll continue to study this narrative in a later sermon. I'm not going to get into it right now, but whatever the interpretation of Joseph's dreams at that time, he insisted on telling the content to his brothers. It was like, you know, fanning that the flames of their anger. And not only that, he told his dad about this. And he was, what did this create? Well, the brothers even got more jealous of him, more anger toward him. And what did he gain by sharing the content of these dreams? Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. Now, there's a third incident that we are going to look in the life of Joseph, in the early life of Joseph, where we you know, I think he should have just had a little bit more wisdom. And if he had the scriptures, he should have taken the counsel there of Ecclesiastes. And the story is recorded in Genesis 37. You, most of you already have your Bibles open to that already. Verse 12. This is what he says. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. Now if you remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we started this series. And Jacob had purchased some land near Shechem, so he could go and have his sheep grazing, all right, to graze the flocks. And Jacob continues, as you know, he says, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them. And he said, very well. Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. This is Jacob giving his son a mission. Didn't Jacob realize that this was a very dangerous mission for Joseph? Didn't he realize? And here's another thing. Had his brothers concealed their anger and their hatred toward their brother so well that Joseph didn't even notice that the brothers were plotting at times even to kill him? I mean, was his brother, was the father just out of it by that time? And then the story continues in Genesis 37, verse 14. He says, then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron, which was, by the way, it was 50 miles due north from where they were. But if you took the road, which he did, it was about 60 miles by road. So after several days of traveling, here's the young man traveling, wandering around, the fields. He comes to the outskirts of Shechem, where Jacob had bought that parcel for grazing the flocks there. And there was a man. He saw him wandering, and the man asked him, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" Now, remember one thing. Shechem was a very dangerous place for the sons of Jacob to be at. You remember what they did? All right. So it's very dangerous, because later Simeon and Levi had gone in, killed every male in that city. And now, you know, the father had asked them, go to Shechem and graze the flocks. And they said, we're not going to go there. That's why probably Joseph was looking around for them in Shechem and couldn't find them. And this man that he says, where are my brothers? Have you seen them, where they have gone? And he replied, I heard him say, let's go to Dothan. Now, Dothan was about 15 to 16 miles north of Shechem. So there he took off another 15, 16 miles. And it says that they saw him in the distance. Before they reached him, the Bible says, before Joseph reached them, they were already plotting to kill him. Now, let me ask you a question. How were Joseph's brothers able to recognize him from afar off? Yeah, he was just walking along, just all jolly with his ornamented coat that probably in the sun gave off all kinds of rays, colors. That wasn't a very smart thing to do. No. Genesis 37:23 tells you that he was wearing this richly embroidered coat. Now, if your brothers were hostile toward you, would you wear that coat? And here's something else. Would you go on a 50, 60, 75 mile hike that's going to take you about 2-3 days through the mountains in this nice, beautiful, ornate coat? You know, that's like me getting dressed up in my tuxedo and going to hike with all of you to Table Rock. You'd be like, I think you're overdressed, Pastor. And Joseph did this. Now, remember the counsel of the Word of God in Ecclesiastes. It says there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. But Joseph at this time didn't even open his mouth. He didn't say anything. What do we learn from this? Well, we learned something very important, that sometimes we don't even have to say words to get a point across. Sometimes it's just by the way we do nonverbal body language. Sometimes it's just even by the way we dress. Remember, his brothers wanted to kill him. And here we have Joseph walking around with this nicely rich, ornamented coat. Now, I want you to know one thing. I don't want to be critical of Joseph today. That's not my point. You got to remember that Joseph grew up in a very dysfunctional family. Very dysfunctional. And he had no written scripture to provide him with wise counsel for his life. My intention this morning is a simple one. Is to learn a simple lesson from this story. And the lesson is this. And I'm going to keep emphasizing it over and over and over. Here it is. There's a time to be silent. And there's a time to speak. We need to pray to God for wisdom to know when we need to speak and when we need to be silent. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you believe he had wisdom from God? Now, I believe he had wisdom from God. And he had a lot of it, too. And God spoke to him and told him at times when he needed to be silent. If you turn your Bibles to Luke 23, verses 8 and 9. Luke 23, verse 8 and 9. We are going to see an example of this. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been waiting. He had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions. But Jesus, what does it say, gave him what? Gave him nothing, gave him no answer. Why? Because there is a time to be silent. Why was Jesus silent? You know why? Because Jesus knew that Herod was not open to the truth. All he wanted was to be entertained. All he wanted was to have some, according to him, probably some magic tricks performed in front of him. And so Jesus said nothing. But we also learn from Jesus that there's a time to speak. There's a time to speak the truth in love. Yes, even if we do so at some personal cost. But we need to speak the truth with love. And John records this. It was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And we read this story there in John 7, 37 through 39. Now, you got to remember, the Jewish leaders were trying to kill Jesus. They were seeking him. They were plotting to kill him. And look at what he says. John 7:37. If anyone is thirsty, he said, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within. And by this, he was meaning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it was going to be sent to those that believed in him, because remember, Jesus was still with them and the Holy Spirit really had not been given. And so the question is, why did Jesus Christ cry, it says, out so boldly in the court, even though that he knew that the Jews, that the leaders were trying to kill him? Why? Because Jesus Christ had wisdom from God and he knew when to be silent and he knew when to speak. And this time, it was time to speak. Notice the testimony of John. John 7:40 and on. He said, hearing the words, some of the people said, surely this man is a prophet. Others said, he is the Christ. Still others asked, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid hand on him. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of living with integrity. He's our example. He understood the principle of God. He understood the principle of the Bible. He understood the principle here in Ecclesiastes when it says there's a time to be silent and time to speak. Now, you have heard a lot of things that I've been saying, but if you take one thing today, if you take one thing this morning, you would have done well. And this is the thing I would like for you to take, to remember, that there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. Ask God for wisdom when you need to do either one. Because we have a resource that Joseph did not have. We have the Word of God, where we get counsel from every problem that we might have. We have the Word of God. Listen to the counsel. Listen to the instruction. listen to everything that the Word of God has to tell us in regarding to our life. It will teach you how to live with integrity. The Word of God, it says, is like a lamp unto our feet. It will guide us in this dark world. And when you read the Word of God, you'll discover the precious truth that we are going to continue to learn throughout this series, which is this. God loves you no matter how troubled your past. God loves you no matter how troubled your present. And God has a plan for the future. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. I invite you to sing a hymn with all of us. It's hymn number 272. It is the Word of God that's